If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 10. And the scriptures will be on the screen. We're going to read verses 4 through 13. And it's been about 2 years since Daniel chapter 9. And it's a really cool spot in the book of Daniel. And the focus is on the unseen realm, and the focus is on prayer and the power of prayer. And I hope that you can see some of this because it's really, really neat. And so let's start in verse 4. Daniel chapter 10, starting verse 4. The title of the message is The Unseen Realm and Prayer, and I'm in the New King James Version. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Now he's making a distinction here in verse 7, so don't miss it. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision. And no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Now the vision he's talking about is in verse 6, what he saw in verse 6. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. Now listen to verse 11. It's very important, because if you're in Jesus Christ, the same can be said of you as you live for the Lord. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. He called him greatly beloved. Your translation may say greatly treasured. That I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, talking about Michael the archangel, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we pray that this morning you would help us to understand who you are, the things that are going on in the unseen realm that we can't see with our physical eyes, but that we can see with our spiritual eyes. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you got to remember that Daniel, it's been 2 years since the vision of chapter 9, and the Bible tells us in verse 1, and you need to catch this, he says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. So we get the timeline that it's in the third year of Cyrus. Daniel would be a very old man at this point. The decree under Cyrus to go back to Jerusalem and build the foundation and the temple had already been given a couple of years ago. It's now in the third year. And so Daniel is heartbroken because Daniel looks, and you can go to the book of Ezra, and you can learn in Ezra how many people have returned. And there's only, if you add the singers in and several others, there's only around a little over 49,000 people, which was just a small amount, that have actually returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. Daniel is looking at his brethren and he's heartbroken. He's like, they're cold. They're unconcerned for the things of God. And that's why he's in prayer and mourning. He's mourning over his brethren. And he's begging the Lord to give him an answer or to cause these people to have a heart for him again and to return back to Jerusalem. And so in the midst of that, Daniel's been praying now for 21 days. Now it said he didn't eat any pleasant food. He didn't have any triple chocolate from Andy's. He didn't have a chocolate cake or a nice big steak. He's eating necessities, and that's it. Just a few things to stay alive, drinking water. And he's down by the Tigris River. That means that he's about 35 miles from downtown Babylon by this river. Now, there's a lot of rivers in the area of Babylon. And so, interestingly, the Bible tells us that there was people that were actually with him. Now, Daniel could have been a dignitary still at this time. He could have been retired at this time. But for whatever reason, he decided to stay and felt more useful to stay in Babylon for God's people than to go in that first return back to Jerusalem, maybe using his status as so high up in Babylon. But we know there were people with him because while he's praying, he sees these things, but the other people know something big is happening, but they go hide. And the Bible says, we just read it, they left Daniel alone. Now, thinking about that, you remember the genie that comes out of a out of a bottle? And you can rub the bottle and genie pops out and says, what is your wish? When Teresa and I and the kids go to the beach, I always like to look and see if there's one of those bottles. I'm going to rub on the crazy thing anyway just to see if anything happens. And I know it won't, but it reminds me of these three friends that got stuck on a deserted island. And so they're on this deserted island. They don't know how to get off. The planes are not going over. They don't know how to leave. And one day, one of them's just walking along the beach, and he finds this bottle. And he opens the bottle and rubs on the bottle, and this genie pops out and says, thank you so much for freeing me. You know, you get three wishes. Well, the first person wished to go back home. And just like that, poof, he was back home. Well, the second guy was excited and said, hey, that worked for him to get off this crazy island. I'm going to do that. So he wished, and poof, he was back home. Well, the third guy, he wasn't so bright. And the third guy said, you know, that's not good. I'm just left here on this deserted island all by myself. I wish my other two friends could come back. And poof, they were back. Well, that's kind of like what's happening with Daniel. Daniel's wanting to see his friends willing to go back, to go back home. But they have adjusted to the culture of Babylon. They have adopted the culture. They have jobs. They have homes. They have family. They don't want to uproot from Babylon and go back home. But Daniel is a man of God, and he loves his brethren, and he loves the Lord, and he goes before the Lord in his old age, and he begins to pour his heart out in prayer. And that leads us to our first point, and it's this. Number one, let your burdens become fuel for believing prayer. Now, the key is believing prayer. And so if you could see to whom you pray behind the scenes, it would change how you pray. And so let your burdens become fuel for believing prayer. Have y'all ever heard of the acronym PUSH? Pray until something happens. It's on your outline. Pray until something happens. Now, we live in a fast food generation. Everything we do, we want it instantly. I think one of the greatest marketing strategies was minute rice. Minute rice. People buy it because it takes a minute to eat it. That's fast. Everything is made for microwave in 1 minute, microwave it in 3 minutes. Everything is made for speed. We go through drive-thrus to eat. Everything is designed for speed these days. But when we go to the Lord in prayer, we have to understand why we're praying. And if we go to the Lord in prayer and all we do is these quick prayers and then we forget it and we go on and we say, okay, Lord, I prayed about that the other day. Why hadn't you answered it? Let me share with you a principle in prayer that is very important. Daniel saw something, and he saw that in verse 5 and 6, Daniel 10, 5 and 6. And what he saw was the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. Some call that, some scholars call it a Christophany, some call it a theophany. But he's seeing the Lord Jesus coming to him and revealing himself. Now, here's the point of that. When we pray, we want to spend enough time in prayer with the Lord. Maybe you have to pray every day for a week or so. Doesn't mean you just sit in one spot on your knees. Daniel didn't just stay on his knees or on his face 21 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We know he didn't eat any pleasant food, but he had to eat something. He probably drank water. He probably had to handle some business at times. but he stayed in a spirit of mourning and in a spirit of prayer for 21 days. And so when we pray, God wants us to encounter him. Where we make a mistake in prayer is when we have this huge burden and we're praying about it, but we don't want to encounter the God to whom we are praying. And God sometimes withholds the answer until we can encounter him first, because he wants us to know him. He wants to speak to our heart. He wants us to be drawn close to him. The Bible says, draw near unto him, and he'll draw near unto you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. God needed Daniel to see him first. Guess what the first thing he sees is? Look at it in verse 5 and 6. He stays on his knees. He stays in prayer. By the way, that leads us to our next point, and it's on your outline, but I want to give you that point now, because I'm going to connect point 1 and point 2. And your second point is this. Behind the scenes of your prayer, Jesus is manifesting his presence and power. If you could see, that's why I say it's important to know what's happening in the unseen realm. Look at verse 5. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz, that waist of gold is his righteousness, and his body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, that's glory, his eyes like torches of fire. The eyes of God see into the heart of man. The eyes of God see with knowledge, with omnipotence, with omniscience, and even with omnipresence. And his feet were like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Now, here's something that's really cool. Y'all have heard these verses before. You heard it in Revelation chapter 1. Because John, on the Isle of Patmos, sees a very similar vision of Christ, a glorified Christ. Now, if you get into the richness of deep Bible study, here's something cool that you can take a note of. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, Daniel is seeing the vision of the Lord Jesus before he experiences the incarnation, before he dies on the cross, before he has a church purchased by his blood, before he is glorified in the resurrection and then that church purchased by his blood. You're seeing him in post-resurrection in the book of John. I mean, in the book of Revelation with John. That's post-resurrection. And then we're seeing him in the Old Testament with Daniel. Now, I want you to compare something here. I'm going to read kind of fast what the vision Daniel saw in Daniel 10, 5, and 6. And then I'm going to read it from Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. Now listen to it again. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold. That's Isaiah tells us that's the righteousness. Ephesians 6 tells us the same thing. It's righteousness. That's what that gold around his waist represents. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning. That's all of his glory. His eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, let's fast forward beyond the incarnation, beyond the cross, beyond the resurrection to the glorified Savior, and let's look at him again in John's vision, and you're going to see some additional things that you did not see in Daniel's vision. The Holy Spirit didn't miss this. You're going to see the redeeming qualities of our Lord and Savior added in to what John sees. Now watch this. Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, now we're seeing a church, one like the Son of Man, not the Son of God, but the Son of Man. Jesus, 100% God. Jesus, 100% man. Because of the incarnation, he's the Son of Man. Clothed with a garment down to the feet. There's the garment again. And girded about the chest with a golden band. There's the golden band again. His head and hair were white like wool. His knowledge is infinite. His wisdom is infinite. That's the Jesus that we pray to. As white as snow. And his eyes like a flame of fire. Daniel saw it like a flame of torches or a torch of flame. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, when we're praying and we're laying our burden before the Lord, whatever it is, or we're praying for somebody that's lost, or we're praying for our family, or we're praying for this church, or we're praying for this nation, for revival in this nation, when we're praying, we don't want to do a 30-second prayer and then 3 weeks later say, God, you didn't answer the prayer. Why hadn't you answered the prayer? Because God doesn't want to be minute rice. Now, there's times for a quick prayer. Nehemiah teaches us that. Esther teaches us that. There's time for quick prayer. But what God wants the most is us first. When he gets us and we begin to encounter him, then he's able to mold our prayer in the direction of his will. And as he molds our prayer in the direction of his will, then he is able to manifest his answer, so that when we get the answer, he gets the glory and we don't. Because God's not going to answer the prayer if we take all the glory. He wants the glory and he'll give it to nobody else. He won't even give it to us. It has to be him. It's a powerful principle. And so Daniel is already beginning to understand some things about Christ of the Old Testament, or Jesus, the Word that soon will become flesh. In chapter 2 of Daniel, Jesus was the stone not cut by human hands that crushed the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, by hitting the feet and crushed those four kingdoms. So in Daniel 2, Daniel has already understood that Jesus is that stone that was cut without hands. In chapter 4, he is the fourth man who walked in the fire with the three Hebrew friends. I love that story. In chapter 7, Jesus was called the Son of Man, who is given an everlasting kingdom. In chapter 8, he is called the Prince of Princes, who comes to defeat the Antichrist. In chapter 9, Jesus is identified as the Anointed One, who will be cut off 483 years after the decree goes forth to rebuild Jerusalem. We saw that a few weeks ago. That's when he dies for us on the cross. And so when you think about that in prayer, and you think how Daniel prayed for 21 days, and you think about how he got to encounter the Lord, think about this. And if you like personal application statements, I'll give you a personal application statement right here. I got to find where I wrote it. Here it is. I must run everything I do by Jesus until everything I do includes Jesus. Does that make sense? What we tend to do is we wait for there to be a burden or a need before we pray. What the Lord wants us to do is to be praying. Be in a spirit of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean you walk around like this. I shared this morning when I first got saved, I was going to work one morning. I had this prayer list that I made every day. And I was praying over that prayer list. And I thought, well, God may not hear me because my eyes are open. I had my hands on the wheel. I mean, what more do I need to do? And so I shut my eyes. And my prayer got a little bit long-winded with my eyes shut. Next thing I know, I feel all this kind of stuff. I'm on an old blacktop road out in the middle of nowhere. I looked way ahead, didn't see anybody coming. That's not safe, y'all. If you're learning how to drive, please don't listen to anything that I'm sharing right now. And so I look up, and I'm just glad I didn't go through David Jones's fence. And so the key is you can have your eyes open when you pray, but be in a spirit of prayer. And always, every day, Lord, I just want to encounter you today. Lord, I just want to experience you today. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I want to experience you today, Lord. I don't want to go through today and it be just like yesterday or the day before. I don't want no humdrum day. Lord, I get up this morning, and I want to experience you. Lord, if I got to mow my yard, you're going to mow it with me. If I got to weed eat, you got to weed eat with me. If I eat Vienna sausages and crackers, you're going to eat Vienna sausages and crackers with me. Those are good. I'm hungry right now, and I wish I had some. So when we pray, we want to make sure we're praying, first of all, because we need to be molded by God in what we are praying about. And as we encounter him in prayer, he'll remind us of Bible verses. He'll remind us of a circumstance that happened maybe previously in our life. He'll begin to mold the prayer so that the prayer begins to align with his will. Then when you get the answer, you're going to know It was God that did it. Now, here's the last one. So you want to run everything, or I must run everything I do by Jesus until everything I do includes Jesus. Here's the last one. Our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Look at verse 11, and I want to read through verse 13. And look at what Daniel is seeing in the unseen realm. Now, he's just seen Jesus, but now Jesus is gone, and now he's seeing now there's an angel that's coming to him, and the angel is basically going to give him the vision of verse 14 that'll take all of chapter 11 and all of chapter 12 to see. So 10, 11, and 12 kind of go together, chapter 10, 11, and 12. He says in verse 11, and he said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Daniel's like, he's telling his story. He's saying, now this angel appears. If you'd have just seen what I just got through seeing, you'd be trembling too. And Daniel says, he tells me to stand up. I stand up, but I'm still trembling. And he's letting us know what the angel said to him in verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart, watch this, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. In other words, when Daniel went to prayer, he knew that he had to set his heart to it and he had to be humble in the way that he came before the Lord. He says, your words were heard, because you got to remember, Daniel's probably thinking, what took you so long? I've been praying for 21 days. What took you so long? The angel's answering his question. He says, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But he's going to tell what happened in the unseen realm, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. In other words, there was a fight going on in the heavenly realm, and you have a demon angel or a demonic angel, a fallen angel, a prince of some sort, rulers and wickedness of the darkness of this age, that is fighting against the good angel from getting to Daniel. There is a war going on in heaven in the midst of this prayer. And so he says, I've been fighting with him. Guess what, Daniel? Same amount of time that you've been in prayer, 21 days. Because when God heard your prayer and saw what you were doing, he sent me, but I had to go do some fighting in the spiritual realm. And it was a tough fight, Daniel. It was so tough that in the latter part of verse 13, he says, and behold, what he's saying is, and look, think about this, Daniel. This is how exciting it is in the unseen realm. What I was dealing with in the unseen realm that you couldn't see with your physical eyes was pretty powerful, Daniel. You know what happened? Look, pay attention to this. Michael, that's Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. And so that angel says in verse 14, now I have come. Now, I'm here now. 21 days later, I'm here now. And the Lord has sent me, basically, to come make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. And that vision unfolds in chapter 11 and chapter 12. Now, so our battle, what the angel is revealing to Daniel, it's pretty amazing, is that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So when we're praying, have you ever been going to the Lord in prayer and you can't even remember your name? If somebody asked your address, you wouldn't even know where you live. Why? Because when you bow your head to pray, the most powerful thing you could ever do is taking place. And when you bow your head to pray and you're seeking God, you're honestly, with an honest, transparent heart before the Lord, you're seeking Him. And let me tell you, Satan does not like that. The demons don't like that. They want to confuse your thinking. They want to do everything they can to get you distracted so you won't stay in a spirit of prayer, because they know the power of it. And so behind the scenes, there is a spiritual host of wickedness. Just as there are good angels, there's the fallen angels. I wish you and I could see right now into the spirit realm. I wish we could look up right now and I saw a little silver thing, but that wasn't a demon. I wish we could look up right now And we would see so many holy angels. Y'all know when we were singing a while ago? And everybody's singing together? If you could see into the spirit realm, you'd have seen angels singing along with us, praising God. You know why? Because the Bible says they inhabit the praises of His people. If we could see into the spirit realm, you would see right now in this church service, you would see demonic spirits trying to attack the souls and hearts of people in this congregation right now to distract them from the Word of God, to get your mind off the things of God, to make you think about lunch. It's going to be so good. Tacos. That's what they're doing. But you would also see the holy angels. The Bible says that they are they not all ministering spirits sent for the heirs of salvation are sent for those who will inherit salvation. Hebrews 1:14. And you would see God using the holy angels to help assist in our understanding of the Word. To help assist. I'm not saying illuminate. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm saying an assist. Remove a distraction in our mind or something. They're ministering spirits. And so God sends them to aid us in our prayer. So you say, what does it mean? And it's on the screen. I've got two scriptures that Jerry can throw up on the screen. The first one is 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, that's what we're in right now. We're walking in our flesh, but we want to walk by the Spirit, but he's making a point. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, I love verse 4. I don't have it on there for time's sake, but it's where it says the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the pulling, for the casting down of strongholds, da, 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 da. But then look at the next one, Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our problem is not with people. Our problem is with a demonic host of wickedness. Because whatever we see happening with the wickedness of man has first already been taking place in the heavenly realm through temptations and schemes of the devil. That's why we want to pray for our nation. That's why we want to pray for our church. That's why we want to pray for our families. That's why we want to pray that we stay consistently following Jesus Christ. Because we have enemies out there that our eyes cannot see. And our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, I want to give you one more personal application statement that you can apply, and it just kind of summarizes the message today when it concerns prayer. My identity in Christ guarantees action by Christ. Now you can put in parentheses as he decides. But when we pray, if you notice in our first point, it's got to be believing prayer. Belief, it's one word. It changes everything in prayer. You've got to believe it so much that it changes your attitude about the situation. You got to believe it so much that the words in your mouth are affected by what you're praying. That it has put an influence in your mind that is so strong that, God, I'm believing you in this prayer. I'm not naming it and claiming it. Don't get me wrong. Let there be a 72-inch TV screen mounted to that wall. When I say presto, it ain't going to happen. Okay, that's not what he's talking about. It means that I'm coming to the Lord believing that the God that I'm praying to is so mighty and I'm identified with Him. He says, I'm a holy priesthood. When I was born again, I was made into a holy priesthood. I am now walking with the King of Kings. I am now adopted as His child. Mike Reese did a great job at VBS doing the adult VBS, teaching that. And we're going to have an adult VBS again next year because it was awesome. I went every night myself. It was really good. Mike Reese did a fantastic job with that. And he kind of did a survey through the Bible, kind of a quick trip through the Bible. But here's the thing. Your identity in Christ guarantees action by Christ. Now, the way he's going to answer that prayer or that burden is going to be according to his greatest plan. But he's going to do it in such a way because you've been believing, because you've been praying, because you've been changing your life in the direction by which you're praying. In fact, it'd be like praying for somebody to have a new pair of shoes. You're praying it so much you just went and bought them a pair of shoes. That's the kind of prayer that you're praying. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of chapter 10 of Daniel where we see into the unseen realm during the midst of our praying. God, it's our desire to encounter you, for you to speak to our heart verses, remind us of verses, remind us of past events, past things to encourage us. Lord, to mold our prayer. We don't know how we should pray as we ought, your word says. But as we seek you and we trust you, we can guarantee that you're not ignoring us. You're not sitting on your hands. We just saw that Daniel perhaps felt ignored. For 21 days, he had to wonder, God, do you hear me? God, have you forgotten me? God, have I messed up so bad that you're not hearing my prayers? What's going on? And then 21 days later, the Lord says, oh man, Daniel, I showed up. Not only am I showing up, I'm going to show up and let you see me for a minute. I'm going to send the angel because he was sent the very minute that you set your heart to pray. But he had to do spiritual warfare for your prayer to be accomplished. Father, we thank you for who you are. You may be in here this morning and perhaps God has put it on your heart that this is the church that he wants you to identify with. You can come down and we can talk to you about that as soon as the invitation begins. You may be in here this morning and you say, you know, he's been preaching on prayer, but my problem is I'm not even saved. And I'm realizing it today and I want to do something about it and I don't know what to do. I believe in Jesus. If you're being drawn of the Holy Spirit to put your faith in Jesus Christ today, then you have to believe that Jesus is God, that he came from heaven to earth, that he was born at Christmas as a little baby and he lived 33 years sinless, fulfilling the law in your behalf. Because we're guilty. We have sinned and we have to admit that we're sinners. And that he died on the cross to pay a debt that he did not owe, and we owed a debt that we cannot pay. And you have to put your faith in him from your heart. From the heart one believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession unto salvation. And if you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus from your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I need to be forgiven, past, present, and future. I need to be saved, Lord, and I've been trying to do it my way. No longer I'm doing it your way. Then the Bible says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, do in our hearts what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.